After the Civil War, as much as we'd love to think that there was immediate equality and equal dignity amongst all peoples, unfortunately there wasn't. There was what's called the Jim Crow laws that many of us are very familiar with, and there was segregation still amongst the whites and everyone else of color. And so in the state of Texas, if you sat in the wrong car and not in the car designated toward all the colored people, then you could potentially be arrested. And then there's that famous picture, at least in my mind, of the two water fountains, one for white people and one for everyone else. And then, of course, we have the heroes of that era, like Rosa Parks, who refused to go to the back of the bus. That kind of started changing the culture and the attitude of many, many peoples. But obviously, it really stinks being treated like a second-class citizen. It's never fun being treated lesser than what your dignity is actually worth. And the people of Israel experienced this quite a bit during their history. First, they started with, obviously, their time in Egypt, in slavery, being treated worse than second-class citizens. They had the doom and gloom prophets. They had good kings and bad kings. And some of this led to the Babylonian exile, which obviously, during that exile, they were once again treated as slaves, or at best, second-rate citizens. And then even once they got back to the Holy Land, once again, through many bad decisions of their own, they were then taken over by the Romans. And once again, if you were not a Roman citizen, then you're treated as a second-class citizen. And once again, it's just not as an enjoyable of a life that you would be looking for, and you're hoping that things obviously get better. And so whenever Isaiah writes in his first reading today about this coming kingdom that's going to be coming and that everyone's going to be part of, and that it's their God who's going to institute that kingdom, it's their God who's going to bring that peace, and all nations, even those who have been persecuting them, all these pagan religions, all these pagan kings, all these people who don't worship their God, all nations are going to come to that kingdom and worship that God and be part of that religion. And that would fill you with so much hope, with so much excitement, with so much anticipation, thinking, man, our lot is finally going to change. Things are going to be better. Things are going to be different. We're not going to live in this miserable world that we currently live in. The kingdom is finally going to come, things are going to be fulfilled, and everything's going to be better. And so this is the kind of mindset that we should be trying to kind of put into our head during this Advent season, as we are these traveling Israelites looking forward to the kingdom. And our kingdom is obviously heaven. During Advent, we hear many times of this Zion place. And Zion just means heaven, basically. And so we look forward to our heavenly kingdom. And so we're trying to put ourselves once again into this mindset that the Israelites had, that things are going to be better. And so how do we celebrate this coming of the kingdom? How do we celebrate Christ coming at Christmas time? And well, as we all know, we do it with all the fancy lights that we have thrown up. Maybe some of you have already gone by the Rima lights or other different Christmas light shows. We do it with good food, with company, with gifts, with decoration of the tree and the inside of our houses, Christmas trees all over the place, and with more sweets that all of us get diabetes sooner or later. But it's always a good time. We always celebrate really, really well. And so how are we supposed to prepare for this great feast? How are we supposed to prepare for this Christmas time? Well, St. Paul talks about it in his reading today. And he bids us to kind of do the hard things that maybe sometimes we don't want to do. He says that we need to get rid of our drunkenness, our lust, our jealousy, and all these other different vices that don't belong in the kingdom. And all these other vices that won't be allowed into the kingdom. In fact, in the mind of St. Paul, Advent almost looks like a little Lent versus a month-long celebration. It looks like a time of sacrifice. It looks like a time of purification. It looks like a time of preparing our souls for that coming of the kingdom, because we don't know when that kingdom is going to come. And so we need to be ready. We need to be awake, because we don't want to be caught off guard, because that could be very, very, very dangerous. Because today anymore, it feels like the Catholic idea of Advent and how we actually practice it in the world is really indistinguishable from anyone else. We celebrate it the exact same way everyone else does. Sometimes I feel like Advent is just a month-long party in which we just kind of celebrate and go from one Christmas party to the next. Work Christmas party, family Christmas party, extended family Christmas party, the other side of the family's Christmas party. All these different things, you're constantly just going from one party to the next. and you don't actually celebrate Christmas time. We get so exhausted with all the lights, with all the sweets, with all the decorations, that as soon as Christmas gets here, we're like, well, we won't take it all down now. All right, it's the 26th. It all comes down immediately. Turn off the lights, pack up the boxes. Let's get rid of it all. We should be keeping these two seasons separate. Advent is a season in the church. Christmas, it's not just a day. It's a season in the church. It's not just one day. We're supposed to celebrate for a long period of time, but not during the time of Advent, or at least restricting ourselves as much as we possibly can, because we need to keep these two seasons separate. If you don't do the fasting, you shouldn't be doing the feasting. And so we got to make sure that we prepare our hearts for that great feast. Because sooner or later, we just get tired of all these sweet things. We get tired of all the Christmas parties. We get tired of the lights, and we want to take it down. Our minds, our bodies can only take so many sweet things. So we need to make sure that we prepare ourselves for those sweet things the best way possible. And do as St. Paul says, to try to throw off the works of darkness in our lives during this Advent season. Maybe many of us probably will have our Christmas lights up. I'm not saying go take them down when you get home, just leave them up. It's hard enough getting them up there as it is. But maybe you don't have the Christmas tree up yet. Well, maybe you wait till the fourth week of Advent to put it up. Maybe you haven't started listening to Christmas music yet, and you don't start listening to Christmas music until that fourth week of Advent, or maybe Christmas Day itself. I don't know about many of you, but it never really felt like Christmas in my house until we heard Amy Grant blaring all throughout the house. At least in our house, that's how it was. She has some beautiful music, and it always felt much more like Christmas time whenever I was able to hear her music. It's just one of those things we just did as children. So some of you may be asking yourselves, why is Father Daniel being such a Grinch about Christmas and Advent this year? Well, that's a fair question. I also have a fair question. Am I being a Grinch, or are we robbing Advent of its meaning? Once again, if we don't do the work now, if we don't actually prepare ourselves, if we don't do that fasting, then why should we do the feasting? Why should we celebrate something that we've been celebrating for the last 4 weeks and just celebrate even more so? Because the only preparation we seem to do sometimes is just not open the gifts till Christmas Day. That's not what our Lord wants. That's not what the church wants for us. He wants our souls and our hearts and our minds to be clean and clear, and so that he has a place to rest his head on that Christmas Day. And our hearts should be that pillow for his head. And so as we go about to the rest of our Advent, try to think of a way in which you can truly prepare yourselves, a way you can deny yourselves a little bit, a way you can build up virtue and deny vice, and root out those vices out of our lives, so we truly have those clean hearts that truly do glorify God now and forever.